Support for WPR comes from The Alliance, a not-for-profit cooperative committed to helping employers self-fund by providing data and insights to manage their health plans. Info is at the-alliance.org.
You might have heard about the Lake Superior sea caves this week. After 5 years of being closed, the weather is finally cold enough to freeze Lake Superior enough to allow people, I guess, to walk to the caves.
Here to tell us more about the caves is Bob Krummenacker, the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore Superintendent. Bob, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Veronica. Glad to be here.
So people are really liking this ice cave story. It's gone gangbusters on our website, and it's got us curious. Tell us about these ice caves. What are they?
Well, first of all, it's gone gangbusters all over the world. We've got reports that some media in Australia is covering this, and
wow.
I've got friends in Arizona who've seen stories about it, so it really is a pretty remarkable thing.
That's incredible.
The ice caves at the Apostle Islands are very possibly the most unique thing in this national park, and as any Wisconsin resident knows, this is one of the coolest places in national park in the state of Wisconsin in the summer. But the caves are a very rare phenomenon. These are also the most popular place for people to kayak in the summertime in the park. They are on a sandstone ridge that forms the shoreline of Lake Superior. It's on the mainland, not on one of the islands. And in the summertime, it's about a half an hour to an hour kayak from the Myers Beach parking area, and, as I said, very popular. But when Lake Superior freezes over, doesn't have to freeze entirely, but when it freezes very solidly in this vicinity, which is becoming increasingly rare, then it is possible, when the conditions are ripe, for people to be able to walk from that same parking area along the shoreline, on the beach, and then on the ice itself, and walk up to the caves, and then walk into the caves, as a matter of fact.
So how long a hike is that, and do you need snowshoes?
It's a little over a mile in each direction, and generally snowshoes are not necessary, although if people have the little ones, the kind that maybe are about 2 feet long, that if they found they weren't very useful, they could put in a pack on their back, they might be worth taking along, particularly if there's been some recent snow. And one thing that's very interesting here this winter is that this has been a very big snow year and a very big ice year, and those things don't always go together.
Oh, interesting. Well, for people who haven't been out to see them, and I gather the weather is quite cold up there right now, but can you describe them for us?
Well, you're first of all, walking on frozen Lake Superior in itself is a treat. It scares the heck out of some people, and others just find it incredibly neat. But when you think about this big lake out there, and you're on a solid surface that's at least 9 inches thick. We make sure it is before we will open the caves, but usually it's thicker than that. But every once in a while, you walk and you realize that the surface is moving a little bit, and the water is actually underneath there, and the waves are still going.
Wow.
So it's a slightly undulating surface, and sometimes you'll be going along and you'll hear a crack, and you look around and hope that the ice is not breaking up. And thus far, every time I've gone out there, that has not happened.
Wait, Bob, you're sure this is safe? You're describing cracks and undulation to me.
Well,
this is safe,
I
right?
I want to put it in context. Actually, the National Park Service never uses the word safe. What we do is we try to provide all the information, and then we stop saying it's unsafe, to be honest. It's a do it at your own risk. I mean, we on weekends have trained park rangers who are available to assist and would be there if there were an emergency. And we had about 4,000 people over the weekend, and thankfully there were no injuries. But it is the sort of thing that you need to realize you're going out in these very challenging conditions. It can be difficult walking. And so even though the snowshoes are not necessary, certainly very heavy boots, Sorels or some other kind of pack boot, and dressing for the weather, because it's cold out there and it's windy sometimes. So I want to make sure people know what they're getting into. This
okay.
is not a trip for the casual or the unhealthy or pets that are off-leash or elderly or five-year-olds, unless they're capable of doing it, and those that need help will get that help. But once you're out there, once you actually are able to get out there and get past all the warnings that the National Park Service gives you, what you'll find is cave-like formations. If you've ever been to Carlsbad Caverns or any of the great caves around the United States, you know that there are features that hang down. In that case, it's limestone. They're called stalactites, and they come in a whole variety of different shapes and sizes. And basically, we've got exactly the same kind of formation happening, except it's happening out of ice, and therefore it's a whole quick thing, and it's ephemeral, and it might be different from day to day. But there are places out there where you have curtains of ice that look like you're in some Victorian-type theater that are very thick and rolling and massive. And then particularly because it's been so cold of late, there are incredibly fine, delicate crystals that look like maybe large snow crystals that are growing, and then you have these things hanging down, and it's an amazing fairyland of features out there, and very fragile, of course. We ask that people not touch them because they'll break, of course, and they only last a few days or a few weeks at most.
Wow, well, it sounds pretty magical, and it looks pretty magical from what I've seen on the Wisconsin Public Radio website. If you've got enough Yeti in you to make the hike out to the ice caves, how many people have done that so far?
Well, we had about 2,000 people a day on Saturday and Sunday last week. We had just opened it up a few days earlier. During the week this week, if there were 100 people a day, that would be a lot. So the real nice time to come, if people are able to do it, would be on a weekday, not a weekend. What we found is that our parking area is absolutely overwhelmed on the weekend. And actually, Saturday and Sunday were probably the busiest days in the history of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore, winter or summer.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. And we've never seen anything like this. And frankly, since it's been 5 years since the caves have been open, I think that's part of it. But if people can brave the weather, they'll have a very unique experience.
So it's been 5 years since the caves were open. Is that just because Lake Superior didn't have enough ice depth at that point? It wasn't frozen enough?
It wasn't frozen enough. And this is very definitely consistent with all of the climate change projections, as well as the history of ice cover over the last several decades on Lake Superior. So this park is also known as one of the places that is really in the forefront of climate change education and adaptation. And so we are referring to this really as an endangered national park experience, because our grandchildren may not get this opportunity, or certainly wouldn't get this opportunity very often.
Well, given all of that, I'm sure a lot of people will be interested in checking out the sea caves that are now ice caves. But we have another, it looks to me like another polar vortex-y thing kind of coming our way next week. And I imagine it'll be colder along Lake Superior. Should people brave it? Can they? Or do you think they should wait for warmer temperatures? What's your advisory, advice there?
Well, that's a hard one. You know, I can't predict that they'll even be there tomorrow to go out to, although the odds are pretty good of that. So I think people should really ask themselves, do I want to be out in a place that's very far from help in these conditions? And if the answer is that's pretty risky, I don't feel comfortable doing it, I would wait for better conditions. So this weekend will be cold. I think it looks very likely that we'll have these caves for several weeks. Normally, in years that the caves form, they don't even, the ice doesn't form well enough until mid-February. So we're very, very early. Of course, we don't know how long winter will last and whether we'll stay this cold, but it's also very possible that this is the longest ice cave season that we've ever had as well. So I think if people use good sense rather than braving the elements when it's just silly to be outside. If it's 0 degrees and 20-mile-an-hour winds, I don't recommend that to anybody, no matter what they're looking at.
Now, as superintendent of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore, you're familiar with the lake and what it can do. How does this compare to the other wonders of the lake? How cool is it?
There are a lot of very cool places on Lake Superior, and in addition to working here, I spent 6 years working at Isle Royale National Park earlier in my career, and that's a spectacular place as well. And we all know the North Shore and the Canadian shore, there are great places in the Picture Rocks in Michigan. I think they're all complementary. They're all part of a big whole. But to the best of my knowledge, there is nowhere else on this lake and possibly anywhere in the world where you can have this particular experience. So I'd say get this experience and then get as many other Lake Superior experiences as you can as well.
That sounds wonderful. Bob, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about it.
You're welcome, Veronica.
We've been speaking with Bob Krummenacker, the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore Superintendent.